The Shattering Miss, a program devoted to the most important segment of the world society. To those of you who know that every religious, political, economic, academic, military, and media institution is corrupt, and that these things are counterproductive, and that they can no longer be fixed. Our phone number, if you would like to join us anytime over the next 2 hours and participate in this discussion, is toll-free 877-300-7645. Let me read off the names. These nations are all either being bombed or they are bombing others. They're all engaged in what has become a world war. Iraq, Iran. A place that is known affectionately as Kurdistan, that's the region in northern Iraq that's been carved out by the Kurds. Syria, Yemen, Jordan, Egypt, Libya, Nigeria, Niger, Cameroon, Mali, Somalia, Kenya, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Turkey, France, Belgium, and of course, the biggest belligerent of all, the instigator of all of these wars, the United States. In all, 22 nations are at war, and that's not including the Ukraine and NATO on one side versus Russia on the other, another war the United States has instigated. 24 nations at war. Overnight, Egypt bombed Libya. 2 American casualties of war. They bombed them because the preceding day, a group of Libyans, now identifying themselves as the Islamic State, because the United States has made being part of the Islamic State ever so cool for a Muslim. Ah, if you're a jihadist Muslim, which means you're a good Muslim, there is no better affinity now than the nation that, according to Muslims, the great Satan is at war with. So a group of fundamentalist Muslims with really no affiliation to anything other than Islam call themselves the Islamic State. They round up 21 Christians. Why are the Christians there? They're there because the United States butchered its relationship with Egypt. We didn't like Mubarak because he became too dictatorial. We told him he needed to hold free elections. He did so, and, well, America is naive. They think that Islam is a loving and peaceful religion. They think that most Muslims are moderate. Neither are true. The only party that received meaningful votes other than the 50% that went to the Muslim Brotherhood was the Salaf Party that received 25% of the votes. They're even more fundamentalist and therefore more enraged and ruthless and jihadist than the Muslim Brotherhood. 75% of the people voted for an all-Islamic fundamentalist government in Egypt in their only free election. Now, the people, of course, were so indoctrinated that they all voted in accordance with their imam, and the 10% that voted, no, I don't want fundamental Islam, were the Copts. They're the Christians that are being annihilated. And then those same Christians who were ravaged under the Muslim Brotherhood put together a coup along with the head of the Islamic military in Egypt. This man, also a fundamentalist Muslim, Sisi, imposed a draconian dictatorship over Egypt. He went to war against all rivals, as all Muslims always do. But the one people that he neglected to protect because he himself despises them are the very people that made his coup possible, the Copt Christians. So they have migrated to Libya. Imagine that. Going from what was a quasi-civilized Islamic country, one under dictatorial control, and now just nothing but a military junta, and having virtually every one of their churches firebombed, their daughters raped. They're in Libya, which is nothing but a terrorist hell, a place where there's nothing more than marauding and rival gangs of Islamic terrorists all vying for control of some tiny swath of land, armed to the teeth because, well, we gave them so many weapons, weapons of every kind and description. And these Christians, huddled as refugees in terrorist-torn Libya, were rounded up by fundamentalist Muslims and decapitated. Now, they, of course, were attempting to follow the example of Muhammad, but when Muhammad made a show of this kind, he sought for 1,000. They only decapitated 21. And so Sisi, the general dictator of the military junta that has no rival, is as draconian a dictatorship as there is anywhere in the world, decided to bomb Libya, a country that the United States broke, a country that wasn't broken before we bombed them, but now is the clearinghouse for weapons for terrorists throughout Northern and Central Africa. What a mess we have made. We weren't smart enough to recognize that deposing Saddam Hussein was a stupid, counterproductive move. That our deposition of Saddam Hussein from Iraq started all of this. The dominoes have simply fallen ever since. And what did we do? Rather than admit we were wrong in deposing Saddam Hussein and giving Iraq to Iran, which has started the civil war between Sunnis and Shias, of which the United States is arming both sides and is a belligerent on behalf of both sides. We did the same thing with Muammar Gaddafi. Somehow, Americans have lost the capacity to think. They can't be discerning anymore. It's as if you could create a caricature, a thin, out-of-context summary of an individual and say, bad man. Ah, we ought to liberate this country and rid this country of this bad man. Not bothering to think what the consequence of that would be. Look at Iraq now. That's the consequence. So we decided we'd do the same thing in Syria. Oh, the abominator, he wanted Assad out. You imagine Syria with the Islamic State in control? Oh, we wanted Muammar Gaddafi out. Look what happened. It's not even a country. You could no more call Libya a country than the man on the moon. We, of course, had to shut our embassy down there. It's something that's common now. We can't protect them. We closed our embassy in Yemen, too, where it got caught in another civil war. We were fighting the Sunnis, and so the Shias prevailed in an armed insurrection. All of this area is ablaze in war. All wielding American weapons. Not only killing one another, but killing anyone who is different than they are. Imagine the legacy of a man who pretended to be enlightened. A man who ran in opposition to the invasions of his predecessor. And now, this is his legacy. 24 nations at war. Ladies and gentlemen, you do not have to wait for World War III to begin. It has already begun. There will be no end. America will not learn any lesson from any of its failures. You would have thought that Korea and Vietnam would have been clear signs to us that invading countries, acting as a belligerent on one side, setting up puppet governments, applying thin, out-of-context labels, sacrificing American lives and killing millions of local inhabitants, would have been a lesson to us in that both failed. One catastrophically. You would have thought that that would have served as a lesson. We would not have invaded Afghanistan, where we failed, made a bad situation worse, where we invaded Iraq, changing the world forever, instigating World War III. And now, of course, the Obaminator wants a declaration of war against the Islamic State, although he won't even call them that. He doesn't recognize that the Islamic State represents Sunni Islam. 80% of the 1.5 billion Muslims in the world. We, of course, will make a bad situation worse. It is the only thing that we've become good at. We will destroy. We will kill. We will enrage. We will suffer the consequences. And in the wake of all of this destruction, of all of this killing, nothing will be left in our wake but terror. That is the world as we find it today. Americans have so lost their ability to be rational, to be moral. They're of the opinion, and this you see play out in the media and in politics, and especially in the military, that we always have to do something to right a wrong, even if what we do is much worse than what was done. You know, it's just not all right. The Muslim fundamentalist, the jihadist, who killed two American reporters and then a moronic aid worker. Can you imagine being so incapable of thinking that you think as a woman that you're going to go to Syria, which is controlled by marauding bands of fundamentalist Muslims who treat women as if they're sex toys, and she was treated as a sex toy, that that's a good idea? And, you know, why not just go ahead and abuse yourself? But the Islamic State kills three Americans, none of which should have been there. And our response to that is to declare war on them. The Islamic State, being good Muslims, terrorizes the Zoroastrians, the Yazidis. They have been terrorizing Zoroastrians since the time of Muhammad. It was the national religion of Persia at the time. And, of course, Islam is intolerant. And so, they kidnap little girls. They sell them off as sex slaves, citing the Quran's authorization to do so. And they're right. The Quran authorizes sex slaves. It authorizes kidnapping, slavery, and forced prostitution. Even Allah says he's oft forgiving for those who engage in such behavior. Muhammad himself was a slave trader, kidnapped little girls. He himself raped them. So they're being good Muslims, and they do this. And yet, you're not willing to hold the religion of Islam accountable And so you declare war on one of 1,000 Islamic groups worldwide, and all of a sudden, you've made them the most important Islamic club in the world. And in the process, you start bombing Iraq and Syria. And while they have killed three, you have killed 3,000. And you think that's moral. It's okay. And prior, of course, to killing those three, America killed or was responsible for the deaths of about 1 million Iraqis and Afghanis. Two attacks, two wars on Iraq. Two, actually, on Afghanistan. Two in Afghanistan, two in Iraq. Over 1 million dead civilians as a result of that. You would think that just in the normal context of things, that Muslims responding by killing three Americans when America's dual invasions of those two countries led to the deaths of millions would just be overlooked. But no, we saw it as our justification to bomb them some more. Oh yeah, bomb. That's what we do. Destroy, turn cities into rubble. Oh boy, look at the headlines. You know, there are no more Islamic State fighters in Kobani. Great. We annihilated the place. As they left, they said, well, we went in, we stole everything that was worth stealing. And then, after the U.S.-led bombardment, there's nothing left standing. There's no reason to be there. It's a pile of rubble. So we left. Good job, America. A couple of months ago, when it became known that America had sanctioned at the very highest levels torture, that Condoleezza Rice, George Bush, and Dick Cheney, in cahoots with the head of the CIA and national security advisors, collectively conspired to torture and did so around the world. Secret prisons, sadistic tortures. Oh, we were really warped. I mean, we were as twisted as the Catholics during the Inquisition. Oh, yes. We would strip all of those who we had kidnapped of their dignity. They would be naked. They would have no place to defecate. And then we would sodomize them. And we would giggle while we abused them. So a video has emerged showing the beheadings of 21 Egyptian Christians who had been kidnapped by the Islamic State in Libya. Kidnapping is fundamentalist Islam. Muhammad was a kidnapper. Muhammad engaged in kidnap during the raid on his neighbors, his former family, extended family members in Badr. It is the raid that is chronicled in the 8th surah of the Quran, telling us, call the spoils of a battle, saying that stealing is lawful and good, telling us that Allah's messengers must make a great must commit egregious acts of violent mass murder prior to engaging in kidnap. But once they have engaged in mass murder, they can kidnap. 8-0 sanctions, of course, mass murder and kidnap and stealing and armed robbery. Even the mutilation of bodies and gloating over them. So you will hear lots of voices that say this is not Islamic, when in fact it is the basis of Islam. I mean, there is nothing more fundamental to Islam than Badr. If you don't know Badr, shame on you. Don't open your mouth and talk about Islam. Don't offer an opinion about Islam, because your opinion is worthless unless you know about Badr. If you don't know the basis of the Eighth Surah, if you don't know what the Eighth Surah says about the Badr raid, then you have no basis for offering an opinion, because your opinion is unwarranted and invalid. Badr is the first official act of the Islamic era. The Islamic era begins with the Pledge of Aqaba, which is a declaration to wage war against all humankind on behalf of Muhammad. And its first act is Badr, where Muhammad deliberately sought to finance himself and his new regime through criminal activity, through armed robbery of a civilian business. And he laid in wait, and he pounced on the caravan, and he murdered and mutilated his former neighbors. He robbed their property, and he kidnapped those who survived. Those who didn't, he had their bodies mutilated while he gloated over them. And then he came up with a handy Quran revelation where he claims that his God said that all of this was not only good, but his God participated. That it was the angels, not the first Muslims, who had done the beheadings. That they smited the necks of the businessmen, of the merchants. It means they beheaded them. Now, there were no angels there. It was Muhammad and his robbers, his mass murderers that did that. Blood on their knives and on their hands. They did this very thing. They kidnapped them. They robbed them. They decapitated them. And then they justified it. Muhammad justified it by creating the Eighth Surah of the Quran. These Muslims in Libya justified it by citing the Eighth Surah of the Quran. Islam was born as a criminal enterprise. Islam was conceived as a declaration of war. Islam spread through terrorism. Islam is corrosive, malignant. It is the most deadly disease ever conceived. Criminal at its heart. Muhammad was the most repulsive man who ever lived. The only thing different with Muhammad is he would have made certain that the women were all raped in front of their husbands and children before he decapitated the boys and men. That would have been perfect Muhammad. Now, of course, the victims were put in blaze orange jumpsuits. It's the Muslims' way of saying we're justified in killing Christians, because what they view as a Christian nation, America, tortured and killed Muslims in Iraq, particularly Sunnis, while empowering the Shia. This is Abu Ghraib. There's a consequence of bad behavior. Abu Ghraib was bad behavior on behalf of America. We became a nation that tortures. It was sanctified in the United States all the way up to the Attorney General, the Vice President, the President of the United States, the National Security Advisor. Old little Condoleezza Rice was out playing golf at the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am when she was part and parcel of torturing people who are now responding by committing acts of mass murder. George Bush lives in his fancy home in Dallas and in his ranch in Texas, still unrepentant and never held accountable. Dick Cheney is actually bragging about having authorized torture. Now, here's the consequence, America. I know that America has become a nation that is incapable of connecting cause and consequence. And Americans don't understand that we started all of this with our invasion of Iraq. And that we created a mess way back when we propped up the Shah of Iran and then pulled the plug and empowered the return of the Ayatollah. Everything we have done, everything America has done has been counterproductive. And now the world's at war. America has started World War III. Egypt said, of course, that they reserve the right to respond in any way they see fit. Well, it's not Egypt that's responding. It's the military. Egypt is no longer a country of people. It's a dictatorship controlled entirely by the military. And it's interesting. This is a military that didn't lift a finger to protect the Copt Christians as they were being raped and kidnapped and murdered and burned alive in their churches. The great annihilation of Copt Christians has been underway now for a number of years. And yet when 21 of them are paraded that are refugees from Egypt because Egypt won't protect them, are paraded before the video cameras, oh, Egypt's going to respond. Oh, they're part of the good guys. Now they're going to bomb Libya based upon the Copt Christians that they allow to be sacrificed in their own country. The Islamic State militants claim to have carried out several of the attacks in Libya. Now, the fact of the matter is that they're just using the name. They rather like the name. The name is perfectly descriptive of who they are. Hello, Kirk. This is a telling and sad day, is it not?
It's terrible, and I called in. I was going to call in a little bit earlier about a conversation we had last night on with some of our friends who are basically secular, and they were talking about this movie, and it ties in. They were talking about that movie about the sharpshooter.
And the American sniper.
And
yeah,
they,
it's a talk about a movie that has inflamed rage in the Islamic world, where we celebrate, we make a movie of a man who has killed more Muslims one-on-one than anyone else in history, and we glorify it.
Yeah. Well, their take on the movie, as they were describing it to us, of course, is they thought it was very justifiable because he was shooting people who were in order to defend our troops. And then...
And why were our troops there?
Well, that was what I said to him a little bit. I should have said more, but, you know, it's not much you can...
Why did our troops need defending? Why did our troops need defending in Iraq and Afghanistan?
I said, well, what bothered me mostly, two things, is who gave you the right to invade a country that didn't attack you? And I mentioned that to them, and I told them who actually did the 9/11 thing. So that's but nobody wants to hear that.
No.
And then so you, it,
because the moment talking. The moment you know the truth that Ramzi Youssef, who was already in U.S. prison for the first bombing of the World Trade Center, conceived the plan for 9/11. And that it was staffed out of the mosque in Hamburg, Germany. That once you know the truth, then it means that everything America has done henceforth has made a bad situation worse and was based entirely on a pile of lies. And if you have a lie that big, that means you can't trust anything.
Mm-hmm.
Your government says or your military does. And now what do you have left?
Yeah. Well, they pointed out, you know, that was those were Saudis mostly and a few Egyptians. Yeah. I think it was about three Egyptians. So, I mean, you invaded your own country. If you were going to invade a country over that, then...
Yeah, 85% of them were Saudi Arabians. So, yeah, if you want to invade a country, why don't we invade Saudi Arabia?
Yeah.
You know how many Afghanis and how many Iraqis there were involved in...
I think they missed the plane.
Yeah, none.
None.
None. No Iraqi, no Afghani had killed an American.
No Iranian.
Nope. We invaded because we had a military. If you have one, you use it. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. So, Kirk, you had some secular friends over.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, we went to
that
house, so, yeah.
Okay. And
well,
they were they saw no problem with what we're doing in that part of the world. The fact that today we wake up and 22 nations are involved either getting bombed or bombing others in the Islamic world.
Right. What is disturbing the most for me is and I'll use some type of analogy. I mean, if I'm in my home and you invade my home because you decide for whatever reason, and I've done nothing to you, I've not attacked you, haven't even insulted you, and you come into my house and you kill part of my family, you rape my wife or my child or something, I don't have children, but regardless.
You torture my son.
Torture my son to get information on where I'm stashing my guns because I might use them to kill you or defend my
Because you've invaded my home.
Because you've invaded my home, and you steal all my stuff.
Right. Or destroy it.
Or destroy it, and you go... And why am I the bad guy? And who's the Muslim here?
Right. Yeah, who's the bad guy?
Yeah, who's the bad guy?
The answer is both. I mean, the Muslims who are engaged in jihad are bad.
Oh, I know. I'm not just...
But in a comparative bad, what the United States has done in the Islamic world has caused far more death, far more destruction, has... inspired far more terrorism than have all of the bad guys, the Muslims, combined.
We seem to be better at it than they are.
Yeah, we're better at destroying, at inspiring terrorism, of killing.
But what's sickening is American people as a whole, and I believe this is pandemic, are they just don't see it as wrong.
Right. Oh, no, they're celebrating the military. In fact, they're the very people who are the blunt edge of destruction here. They celebrate.
And what did Hoshea say to the to Israel, because they rejected the Torah and everything it says? He said, you know, they're going to be destroyed. So what does he say about us?
Oh, it's the 18th chapter of Yeshaya, Isaiah. Whoa, alas. You know, this is my warning. What you're doing is belligerent. You're arrogant. You're vicious. You're manipulating. You're destructive. And everything you're doing is in opposition to what's good.
Yeah.
And then ultimately, the only reason that God cares about any of this is that ultimately... what the United States is doing is going to turn on Israel.
Mm-hmm.
We're enraging and empowering and arming the Islamic world. And ultimately, Israel will be sacrificed, left in the crosshairs. That's the reason why God cares about it. He doesn't give two hoots about America.
No.
We're way too repulsive. Way too ignorant. Way too religious. Way too political. And there's, you know, your you know, secular friends.
Yeah.
And even secularists can't see it. But, you know, I think today, Kirk, that socialist secular humanism, which is the consequence of political correctness and the indoctrination of the national religion of America, socialism, secularism, humanism, where being judgmental is considered the worst of all possible crimes, that it's affected at least two, maybe three generations.
Mm-hmm.
And their socialist secular humanist is worthless in terms of ability to be moral, judgmental, thoughtful, as is the religious zealot.
Mm-hmm. Well, the philosophy of it all kind of invaded the universities first, and then it got to the
yes.
the high schools and right down to the grammar schools.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, grammar schools.
So it took about three generations to permeate.
Right. Right.
A society like ours, but it is.
Yeah. And what I think has happened now is that at the lowest level, youngest children, children aren't sweet. They're certainly not innocent anymore. They've become really repulsive in so many ways. Cute for a moment here and there, but you get a group of young children together, and they can be very mean. I think we've lost it. There's no recovery from this.
No.
Three generations, all indoctrinated, all ravaged of their ability to exercise good judgment.